You're listening to the DolphinsTalk.com Podcast Network.
DolphinsTalk.com Point After.
You're listening to Dolphins Talk Point After, brought to you by BetUS. My name is Josh Couture. Thank you for tuning in this week. And it is finally time. We are finally into the first week of the NFL season. The Dolphins have a great matchup, a great test for them in week one as they take on the rival New England Patriots. The Dolphins have, you know, the new look defense kind of, but they're much different looking offense. Tua hopefully makes the progression, the strides that you want to see in a year two quarterback. He's armed with weapons. The receiving core is deep, and they're looking to take on this New England Patriots roster, which looks dramatically different than it did last year, and have a new quarterback under center as Mac Jones was named the starter after preseason. We're going to talk about the matchup. We're going to talk about Mac Jones coming up in just a bit. Also, later on, I want to talk about some of the matchups in week one, especially those in the AFC East, as the Bills will be taking on the Steelers, the Jets, and their rookie quarterback are taking on the Carolina Panthers, who have the Jets' former first-round quarterback under center. And I just kind of want to talk about those matchups, focus in on these AFC East rivals and what we can kind of expect from them in this new season. So that's later on. But first and foremost, I haven't been able to do the show the last couple of weeks. And because of that, really haven't been able to discuss the preseason, what I saw, obviously what happened afterwards with all those cuts, and then the Deshaun Watson situation. Why this thing has come back up yet again is beyond me, but there are reports about Deshaun Watson and Miami happening all over again. So I want to kind of touch on those things before we get into this week one matchup. So again, don't want to spend too much time on it, but I think it is important to just kind of mention what has been happening, give my two cents, and then we can get into what's important, and that is the week one matchup for the Dolphins as they take on the New England Patriots. But first and foremost, it was the preseason, just wrapping up the other week. We saw the Dolphins kind of do what they needed to do, showcase guys that maybe aren't going to be making the roster, allow Tua to play some downs. He played actually a lot more than I thought he would. He looked great for the most part. You know, there were a couple of bad throws in the midst of those games he did play in, but for the most part, you know, he took shots downfield. He was extremely accurate with the ball, and he made smart decisions. He was able to get in and out of the pocket when need be. He looks mobile. He looks quick. He looks like he's kind of understanding what's going on. And Tua's success in the preseason, I don't know how much success you want to kind of read into it, but the fact that he stayed upright, he didn't get hurt, and he made great throws, accurate throws, and statistically looked the part, I think that is successful considering a lot of the weapons he is going to have throughout the regular season were not available. You didn't see much of Albert Wilson, Preston Williams, Devontae Parker, Will Fuller. Those guys just really didn't play in the preseason. You saw a little bit of Jalen Waddle, Jakeem Grant, Mac Hollins. Those guys definitely got a lot of reps with Tua. But the big guys, the big guns, they weren't available for much of this preseason. So to have a lot of these guys available for week one, aside from Will Fuller, who is out with a suspension, but he's going to have his full cast of characters for week one. And if he can replicate what he did in the preseason in the regular season with these playmakers that are now going to be with him, I'm looking forward to what is going to happen in this NFL season based off what Tua was able to do with such a limited cast of receivers and weapons at his disposal in the preseason. I just think the sky's the limit. And if you play fantasy football at all, you may have noticed since you've already drafted that Tua is like a 13, 14, 15 round QB if you're playing in a league that only needs one quarterback. And I think he's just great value to grab as your second quarterback towards the end of the draft because I truly believe the sky is the limit. I haven't seen anything thus far that makes me think this guy can't play in the NFL. And other than maybe a couple of teams, the Dolphins receiver room has to be one of the best in the NFL. Like, you know, you think about Tampa Bay, you know, Dallas, those kinds of, those two teams really stick out as teams that have a great receiver room. But the Dolphins definitely can match up quite well player for player with those two franchises in terms of, you know, who they have at wideout. And it's going to be a track meet for the Dolphins offense this season, as they got guys that could just blow up and down the field. And Tua should be able to make the downfield throws as the hips getting better. The arm strength is back. Like I said, from what I saw in the preseason, I just don't think you can make a case where Tua will be bad this season. I think the only thing that will prevent Tua from being successful is if his body lets him down again. And if he does, you know, get injured and isn't able to play the full season, I think that's really the only thing that's going to prevent Tua from really achieving something great with the Dolphins and maybe have one of the better years for a Dolphins quarterback over the past 20. After the preseason concluded, the Dolphins had to make some cuts. Obviously, I'm not going to go down the list of everyone that was let go by the Fins, but I think three names really, you know, jump off the page. One for, I guess, maybe a sentimental reason, and the other two just based on them being brought in during the offseason. For me, Shaquem Griffin not making the final 53-man roster. Not upsetting, but, you know, he's a guy you want to have in your room. He's such a jolt of positivity. He has that get-after-it attitude, and he's good for a locker room. And when the Dolphins brought him in, I really thought this was a guy that won't make a significant impact on the field, but I think is just a good guy to have on your team and could be a great special teamer on top of that. But he wasn't able to crack that 53-man roster. It's kind of unfortunate. I really like him as a player. Again, that motor, that energy, that he has a spark, man. He has a spark, and it's contagious. You want him on your roster. It just, again, didn't work out. So we'll see what happens with Shaquem Griffin. The two big cuts on top of that, Matt Skura and Benardrick McKinney. Matt Skura was brought in to potentially be the starting center. He just, you know, wasn't getting the reps in preseason. When you went to practices or when reports were coming out of practices, Michael Dieter was taking a majority of the reps with the first team offense under center or as the center. And I guess they just felt like Matt Skura, just there was no fit for him. There were better fits for other guys. Him as a backup center just didn't seem like something that the Dolphins were interested in doing. So they brought in a veteran center, Greg Manx, about 2 weeks ago. And with that, you know, there's really no need for Matt Skura. So Greg Manx comes in. He's now the backup center. Michael Dieter looks like to be the starter. You know, it was a short tenure for Matt Skura on the Miami Dolphins. Wish him nothing but the best. Benardrick McKinney was kind of a shocker. You know, Kyle Van Noy getting cut once the season was over was shocking. Benardrick McKinney getting let go, also very surprising. The 28-year-old former Pro Bowler only played 4 games last season after undergoing shoulder surgery. He has posted 100 or more tackles in 3 of his 6 seasons, has 11.5 sacks in 80 games. The Dolphins acquired him back in March, sending along Shaq Lawson to the Texans in exchange. And then the Texans just traded Shaq Lawson to the Jets for a 6th-round pick just the other week. And McKinney was kind of brought in to be that second linebacker beside Jerome Baker. I don't really know where the issue was, but definitely it feels as though Brian Flores much more confident with Landon Roberts in that role than Benardrick McKinney. Surprising that they cut him. They couldn't find a trade for him. They couldn't move him somewhere else for something. They just upright said, no thanks. We just don't need your services. I guess a guy like that really doesn't work with your team as a backup. There's just certain guys that don't fit the mold of a backup, and Benardrick McKinney might be just one of those guys. Just didn't see a fit to have him as one of your backup linebackers. So Jerome Baker and Landon Roberts, that looks to be the tandem at middle linebacker for the Dolphins this season. Again, Benardrick McKinney could have been a great fit for this team, but Brian Flores felt like, I guess, he wasn't, and he knows a lot more than I do. That's my Coles Notes version of the preseason. Again, don't want to get too much into it because that shouldn't be the focus. The focus should be on week one, but there was kind of a bump in the road last week when it came to the Miami Dolphins, and it was this report about Deshaun Watson and the fact that a trade with the Houston Texans is still on the table for the Miami Dolphins. Charles Robinson put out the report, and then he hit a lot of those sports talk shows over the last week to talk about what he's been reporting, what he's been hearing. Obviously, the Texans haven't budged on their stance that they want a king's ransom for Deshaun Watson. The report is 3 ones, 2 twos, maybe some players on top of that. A lot of teams are out on trading for Deshaun Watson, especially this far into the process where week one is approaching, and teams who would make that move would want Deshaun Watson in their building sooner rather than later. But with the allegations on Deshaun Watson and the question marks in terms of availability, no one really wants to pull that trigger on bringing in, you know, one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, and he's only 25. He's signed. He's got his deal. Like, you have control of him. But with these allegations, it's just so hard to say, yes, let's make that trade. And the reporting is that the conversation between the Dolphins and the Texans revolves around Miami putting a lot of conditions on picks. That being said, you know, we'll give you a first rounder, but if Deshaun Watson gets suspended or doesn't play a certain amount of games, well, we're going to give you a lesser pick. The feeling right now is that Nick Caserio and the Houston Texans are not willing to put any conditional picks on Deshaun Watson. They want the picks, and that's that. And that's what's making this move so difficult. That being said, if the Deshaun Watson thing can get settled out of court, he possibly could get traded before the deadline and then be put on some type of suspension by the league, whether it be 6, 8, 10 games. That could be something that happens. It just feels as though right now Deshaun Watson's going to be dead weight with the Houston Texans for the entire season and might get moved next year. Deshaun Watson is on the 53-man roster. He will be a healthy scratch pretty much every week until this whole thing gets sorted out. Plus, he doesn't want to play for them anymore. So they're in this weird situation where they have to have him on their team because they don't want to trade him for nothing, but he doesn't want to play for them either. So he's the third-string quarterback for the Houston Texans. Tyrod Taylor was just announced as the starter this week. So Deshaun Watson's taking up a roster spot. So every week the Houston Texans are going to be rolling with 52 guys, which isn't ideal, but that's just kind of the situation they're in because there is such a refusal to trade him for not nothing, but they want way too much, and there's no compromising. They don't want to find a middle ground with a team. And there's only a few teams that really could make this deal. It is, you know, the Carolina Panthers, it's Miami, and it's the Philadelphia Eagles. I really think those are the only three teams that could pull the trigger on a Deshaun Watson deal right now. But Deshaun Watson really doesn't want to play for any team aside from Miami and maybe a couple of others who really don't have the picks to make that move. So Miami's in this weird position where Deshaun Watson wants to play for them. They want Deshaun Watson on their team, but with all the legal trouble and with the king's ransom Nick Caserio wants for him, it's just not working out. And for anybody listening right now that's saying, you know, why would the Dolphins trade for Deshaun Watson, give Tua a chance? It's because I don't think there's a scenario where, if we look forward 5 years, I don't think there's any type of scenario where Deshaun Watson is looked at as a lesser quarterback than Tua Tagovailoa. Tua could have a great NFL career, don't get me wrong, but I don't think he will ever hit what Deshaun Watson's hit thus far and will hit beyond this year, even if he doesn't play this entire year. Deshaun Watson is just a generational athlete and talent at the QB position. There's only maybe 7 teams in the NFL, maybe a couple more. Let's say there are no more than 10 teams in the NFL that wouldn't take Deshaun Watson over the quarterback they already have. You know, obviously the Chiefs, the Bills, the Cowboys, Tampa Bay, teams like that, they're good at QB. Green Bay, they're good at QB. Baltimore, they have Lamar Jackson. Those teams aren't interested in a player like Deshaun Watson. But every other team in the NFL, I think, would be happy to have Deshaun Watson on their roster, the Dolphins included, because he is an upgrade over what you have already. That is no slight on Tua Tagovailoa. I just, I just don't see a situation in which Tua will be a better quarterback than Deshaun Watson in the next 5 years, in the next 10 years. They're just different types of athletes. They're different types of quarterbacks. Tua will have a great NFL career if he stays healthy, but I just don't think he will hit the peak that Deshaun Watson has and will continue to hit as his career goes forward. Would I love to see Tua be successful as the Dolphins quarterback? Absolutely. I'm 100% behind him. I'm rooting for his success. I want to see him do great things. But if these allegations weren't a thing and the Dolphins traded for Deshaun Watson today, I would be thrilled and the Dolphins would be an automatic Super Bowl contender. No questions asked. That's just how these two players are looked at right now. Again, don't want to get too much into the weeds on the Deshaun Watson situation, but that's kind of where things are at right now. But what's most important is what's happening on Sunday. The Dolphins, week one, their first matchup of this new season against the rival New England Patriots. Bill Belichick and his new look roster, along with his rookie quarterback, will be taking on Miami and their new look offense, Tua in his second year, and perhaps a top five defense in the NFL if everyone stays healthy. To talk about this matchup, we need to talk about what New England has been up to in this offseason. The New England Patriots got off to a hot start in free agency. They spent $159 million guaranteed in money in free agents for this new league year. It's actually an NFL record, the amount of money the New England Patriots spent. Essentially, $160 million in guaranteed cash was given out to free agents from the New England Patriots this offseason, a dream in which Tom Brady had always had. He always wished that Bill Belichick would open up the wallet and pay to have players brought in and not this whole, you know, draft and develop thing, which is great, and it worked. They won a bunch of championships. But Tom wanted Bill to spend some money, and he just really wouldn't. He would be more inclined to cut guys once they start asking for too much money. But the Patriots this offseason decided to spend their cash, bring in a bunch of new guys, Hunter Henry, Jonnu Smith, Nelson Agholor, just to name a couple of guys just off the front, especially with this offense. The New England Patriots look very different than they did last season with Cam Newton as their starting quarterback. They had a bunch of guys opt out due to COVID. Those guys are coming back. It is a very different looking New England Patriots team. And on top of all of that, Bill Belichick decided that Mac Jones would be the starting quarterback for his team going into week one. And on top of that, they cut Cam Newton in the process. So Mac Jones had a good preseason for New England. He had a 97.4 passer rating. He threw for 388 yards. He was extremely accurate with the ball. He threw no interceptions. He only threw one touchdown. So he really wasn't getting the ball into the end zone with his arm. But he was able to be efficient. He was able to move the team up and down the field. And he's less of a risky option in terms of comparing him to Cam Newton. Cam Newton, for all the great things he does, he can also make some foolish mistakes. He can throw the ball down the field. He can run the ball. He's a goal line threat. But he makes poor decisions. He maybe isn't the most accurate quarterback anymore. And that body has failed him at times. And last season was just such a weird year for Cam Newton, throwing, eight touchdowns and 10 interceptions for the amount of games he played. It was so weird. And you have to expect more of the same in his second year with New England. I just don't see Cam Newton putting up, a 30 touchdown, 10 interception season after going 8-10. I just don't see how that's possible. Cam Newton improving could be a, 15 touchdown, 17 interception kind of guy in year two with New England. But Bill Belichick decided that Mac Jones was the right choice to be his starting quarterback going into this new season. And that creates such an amazing dynamic for this week one matchup. It's the Bama Bowl. It is the last two starting QBs for the Alabama Crimson Tide going one-on-one against each other in week one. Tua's first start in week one. Mac Jones' first start in his career. I honestly really think this is Tua's first start in the NFL. I know he played a bunch of games last season, but this to me is This is Tua's official first start as the solidified Dolphins QB. This is his team now. He has no Ryan Fitzpatrick, you know, breathing on the back of his neck. It's his team. It's his offense. The offense is catered to his skill set. This is Tua's first real game as the Dolphins starting quarterback, and it is against a former teammate of his. It is against a guy that went to the same college as he did and was coached by Nick Saban. Nick Saban's got his hands all over this game. It is going to be an exciting matchup to see how Mac Jones is able to play against this Dolphins defense, and it's going to be fun to see how Tua plays against Bill Belichick and his defense. You know, Bill Belichick, his skill when it comes to coaching games is he takes your strength and rips it away from you. And when you look at the Dolphins offense, we aren't entirely sure what their strength is going into this first week of the season. Obviously, it is the wide receiver depth, but the Patriots are going to be without Stephon Gilmore. That's going to help the Dolphins kind of stretch the field out. They have basically track runners playing wide out. Jakeem Grant, Jalen Waddle, they are going to burn it down the field. When Will Fuller's available, he's going to be added to the mix. Albert Wilson's got some wheels on him. And then you got Devontae Parker and Mike Gesicki who can get up there and grab the ball at the high point. I think Bill's going to try and focus on blitzing the offensive line, throwing a lot of guys in the box, try and overwhelm Tua. Don't give him a lot of time to get the ball out. Don't give him a lot of time to allow the receivers to get down the field. I think Bill Belichick is going to run a swarming defense, a lot of blitzes, a lot of pressure. You know, this offensive line is young. Tua is young and inexperienced. He's going to try and make the game as uncomfortable as possible for Tua. We're going to see a lot of, you know, checkdowns in this game. I feel like you want to see Tua throw the ball down the field. I want to see Tua throw the ball down the field, but I think this matchup just doesn't allow that to happen. This matchup will see a lot of bubble screens, a lot of running back screens, a lot of checkdowns to Myles Gaskin. I think Myles Gaskin's going to walk out of this game with 6 to 8 receptions easily because Tua is going to be under a lot of pressure and he's going to be throwing a lot of checkdowns. Jalen Waddle's going to get a lot of checkdowns, a lot of screens, a lot of stuff down the middle. Same with Albert Wilson. It's just how the matchup is going to be presented. They want to get into his face and make him as uncomfortable as possible so that he isn't able to stretch the ball down the field. And we don't really know what we're getting from this offensive line in week one. And like I said, a lot of youth, a lot of inexperience. We just don't know. It's not the best offensive line in the NFL. We know that already. It could turn into one of them down the road, but as of today, it is not. So Bill Belichick is going to put the pressure on the offensive line to try and keep Tua upright. It's going to be a rough one, especially right off the jump. The first couple series of the game, Tua is going to face a lot of pressure. I'm interested to see how he kind of shapes up against this New England defense. On the other side of the ball, you know, what is Brian Flores going to throw on Mac Jones? I think it's going to be a lot of the same thing. I think it's going to be a lot of blitzing, a lot of guys in the box. I think the New England Patriots are going to try and run the ball, keep the game short and sweet for Mac Jones, nothing too crazy. They don't have a lot of guys that can go down the field that Mac Jones can air it out to. You're going to see a lot of passes to Jonnu Smith. You're going to see a lot of passes to Jacoby Myers. You're going to see Damian Harris running the ball quite a bit. I think Brian Flores and Bill Belichick are going to run very similar defenses against one another, and that is crowding the line of scrimmage and making it hard to move in space for these young quarterbacks and for these inexperienced running backs. Damian Harris, Myles Gaskin, these guys are kind of on the same footing right now. Obviously, Myles Gaskin is much more of a receiver threat than Damian Harris. But Brian Flores, Bill Belichick, it's going to be a chess match between these two, as obviously Brian Flores used to coach under Bill Belichick, so he kind of knows what to expect in this first game. Dolphins right now are 1.5-point underdogs. I have been hitting the bet button on that one. I think the Dolphins are going to win this game. I think it's going to be a close game. It's going to be a field goal game probably. It's going to be low scoring as well, as these two teams are going to get after it. It is going to be a defensive battle. Again, the Dolphins may have one of the top defenses in the league. New England spent a lot of money on theirs. I'm not sure if they're going to be able to match the Dolphins in terms of defense over the course of the season. But in this first week where teams really don't know what to expect from one another, I think this is going to be a low-scoring game. I think this is going to be a 2017 type of matchup where the Dolphins walk out victors and go 1-0 and then have to play Buffalo, where we'll get into that next week. But I'm excited to see what happens in this week one. Let me know if you're excited as well. You can follow Dolphins Talk on Twitter. You can follow me on Twitter as well. And let me know what you think about everything that's going to be going on in week number one. We're going to take a break, though. When we come back, we'll talk about the other week one matchups. We're going to focus on the Bills and Steelers. We're going to focus on the Jets and Panthers, you know, AFC East rivals. A lot of things, a lot of moving parts for these teams going into week one. All four teams especially. So we'll focus on those matchups coming up after the break. You're listening to DolphinsTalk.com. Point After, brought to you by BetUS.
Attention gamblers of all shapes and sizes, our friends at Manscaped have a can't-miss bet for you today. The leaders in male grooming just launched their fourth-generation performance package. The betting odds are in your favor when you use the Lawnmower 4.0 on your balls. Across the board, this is the package to get you in the mood for whatever your gambling heart desires. Ready to take the leap to male grooming royalty? 2 million men already have. Join the Manscaped movement by going to manscaped.com for 20% off plus free shipping with the code DolphinsTalk. The Performance Package 4.0 by Manscaped is the ultimate parlay to take your grooming game to the next level. Their fourth generation trimmer features a cutting edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents thanks to their advanced skin safe technology. It also gives you the ability to turn the 4000K LED spotlight on and off when needed for a more precise shave, plus it's waterproof. Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code DolphinsTalk at manscaped.com. That's 20% off plus free shipping with the code DolphinsTalk at manscaped.com. Fellas, don't gamble on shaving your balls with the wrong tools. Choose Manscaped. Your balls will thank you.
You're listening to Dolphins Talk Point After, brought to you by BetUS. And with it being the first week of the NFL season, we want to take some time to talk about the other games happening in the NFL for week one. Yes, this is a Dolphins focused program, but a part of the program as well is talking about the other teams in the NFL, the other headlines, the other news. And for this first week, because there's really not a lot of headlines to kind of filter through, for this first week of the NFL season, I kind of wanted to take a look at the division rivals and their games going into week one. And I wanted to start off with the Buffalo Bills, who, of course, won the AFC East last year. Josh Allen had an MVP-type season. He's looking to continue his progression as an elite NFL quarterback. I think a lot of people, those experts, will tell you that Josh Allen is one of the top quarterbacks in the NFL right now. He is coming off of, like I said, an MVP-like season, almost completing 70% of his passes, 4,500 yards, 37 touchdowns, 10 interceptions, and had a QB rating of 107. He also got that big six-year, $250 million extension, which with incentives could get up to around $288 million. The Bills finally found their franchise quarterback. They've been trying just as hard as Miami to find one, and it looks like they have in Josh Allen. They're taking on the Pittsburgh Steelers in week one, and what an interesting matchup it is. When you look at Buffalo, not much really has changed with the team over the course of the offseason. They managed to keep, you know, a lot of their players intact and are hoping to build upon the success of last season. You look at Pittsburgh, some key changes were made. That offensive line isn't quite what it was before. A new starter at running back. The defense has kind of been, you know, messed around with. They no longer have Bud Dupree. But Pittsburgh still has Big Ben at quarterback. They still have Juju. They have Chase Claypool going into his second year. You know, Pittsburgh started off last year on fire.
11-0 to start the season, and it looked like, you know, they could be a team that could contend. But as that 11-game win streak continued, you kind of start to see the holes in that Pittsburgh team, and it really showed towards the end of the season. They lose back-to-back the final week of the season and the wild card game to the Cleveland Browns. A lot of questions surrounding Big Ben and whether or not he would return. He is, in fact, back for another season, and they are armed with the front runner, I suppose, for Offensive Rookie of the Year in Najee Harris. Pittsburgh took the former Bama running back at number 24 in this year's draft. He was seldomly used during the preseason. He had a couple of flashes. He had that one big play against the Detroit Lions. But Najee Harris is kind of going to be the focal point of the offense. If you know anything about Pittsburgh and Mike Tomlin, running the ball is the most important thing to these guys. This is how they run their team. Run first. And it dates all the way back to when Bill Cowher coached the team, and he had Deuce Staley, Jerome Bettis, Willie Parker, Le'Veon Bell, of course, James Conner. The whole goal of the Pittsburgh offense is to run the ball and, you know, force the defense to collapse into the box. And then that opens up the game for Ben Roethlisberger to take shots down the field. And he has two great weapons in order to do so in Chase Claypool and Juju Smith-Schuster. They drafted Pat Freiermuth, who had a couple of great grabs during the preseason. I'm interested to see what Pittsburgh can do with this kind of new-look offense and some additions that they made. But they're going against the Buffalo Bills. And the last time Pittsburgh played the Bills was last season, December 13th. They lost 26-15, Ben threw two picks. They had a horrible time running the ball, and Stephon Diggs grabbed 130 yards of offense against Pittsburgh. I think, you know, the formula is going to be the exact same for Buffalo going into this game. It is going to be stretch the ball down the field, try and, you know, move the pocket around, allow Josh Allen to kind of take over the game with his legs. And, you know, Stephon Diggs is a matchup nightmare for most defenses, and I don't really see anyone that can cover Diggs one-on-one on Pittsburgh. Obviously, they have elite defenders. Minkah Fitzpatrick, TJ Watt, you know, of course, are the two studs on that defense. But I really think that this Buffalo team is going to be able to really push the ball down the field. What really concerns me about Buffalo, though, is their inability to run the ball. Devin Singletary and Zach Moss haven't shown that they're the number one guy for Buffalo. Even in the preseason, I think the coaches for the Bills were hoping that one of these guys would emerge as the absolute starter, but neither really impressed during the preseason. And the Achilles heel of this Buffalo team is their lack of ability to run the ball with the running backs. Of course, Josh Allen, unfortunately, is the best running back on this team, but you don't want your quarterback having to carry the ball that often. You want him in the pocket, maybe, you know, stretching out plays if he has to, but you want him to win games with his arm, not necessarily his legs. And there were many times last season where Josh Allen was the primary ball carrier for the Buffalo Bills. He led the team in rushing most games. If Buffalo wants to see success this year and get to that next level, you know, that next level, which is the Kansas City Chiefs and, you know, the Cleveland Browns, I think are, you know, a notch above in the AFC. The Bills need to be able to have a steady run game. And one of these guys has to be able to state claim that they're the number one guy for the Bills. Again, like I said, no one really saw that in the preseason, but preseason and regular season, two very different things. Hopefully, for the Bills' sake, one of these guys can make it happen. Hopefully, they don't figure it out by week two when they play the Dolphins. But if they can figure it out, you know, the Bills are going to be in that conversation for one of the better teams. I know they already are, but I think people are too focused on the Josh Allen component of it and the Stephon Diggs component of it. You have to be able to run the ball. You have to be able to hand the ball off to your running backs successfully, and then that opens up the playbook. You can get away with more play action. The fact that they just can't get a steady run game going makes me think that the Bills aren't quite there when it comes to one of the top teams in the NFL. We're going to really get a good glimpse of it in the first 2 weeks for the Bills. You know, they take on the Steelers in week one and, of course, have a date with the Miami Dolphins in week two. We're going to know what the Bills are all about by week three. They could be 2-0, they could be 0-2, and they could be 1-1. All three are very realistic possibilities because the Steelers are a good team. They have been. They have the experience. They have a good defense. And, you know, Miami's Miami. They could really pull something out this year. You know, they were a 10-win team last season, and with the additions they made, they could be a real problem for the Buffalo Bills this season. Moving on to the second team, the Jets and the Panthers. The New York Jets were one of the worst teams in the NFL last season. They tried their hardest to be the absolute worst and draft Trevor Lawrence. Unfortunately, they couldn't get the job done. Jacksonville decided, you know what, we're just going to win the first game of the season and then lose out so that we can secure the services of Trevor Lawrence, the generational talent that has been on the minds of many NFL scouts since he was in high school. So the Jets, unfortunately, had to settle at number two and picked up Zach Wilson. And Zach Wilson had an up-and-down training camp, an up-and-down preseason. Early on, I think a lot of the experts, again, and Twitter were a little worried about Zach Wilson and, you know, how he just really wasn't developing how they wanted in his first preseason, his first training camp. But as the preseason progressed, you definitely saw signs of improvement. And is he going to be, you know, the Patrick Mahomes type player that many expect him to be, with the arm angles and the weird throws and the ability to kind of make any throw you need made? That's yet to be seen. I don't think anyone anticipated Patrick Mahomes would be Patrick Mahomes. But Zach Wilson definitely has the moxie. He's got the look. You know, you look at him, you're like, yeah, that's a starting quarterback. 100%. He's got the confidence. He's got the swagger. What he doesn't have is the weapons. He's fairly thin at wide receiver. Elijah Moore, Jameson Crowder, Corey Davis. Those are kind of the three-headed monster that the Jets have put together. Not a lot at tight end, and definitely running back is a point of contention right now, I think, for Jets fans as they try and figure out who the primary ball carrier is. It seems to be a serious issue in the AFC East as to who is the definitive ball carrier for each team. You know, obviously, Miami's going to go with Gaskin. New England just rotates guys, even though, you know, we talked about Damien Harris. Lord knows they're going to be rolling in four or five different guys to run the ball. The Bills really don't have a number one. And then the Jets, they got Tevin Coleman, they got Ty Johnson, they drafted Michael Carter. It looks like Tevin Coleman and Ty Johnson are going to be kind of rotating in and out. And Michael Carter didn't show enough in the preseason to move up in the depth chart. So the Jets' running game is a little weak. Tevin Coleman is due to get hurt at some point during the season. Obviously, the offensive line's been worked on. They're going to be able to keep Zach Wilson upright. But again, not a lot of threats in terms of receivers for the New York Jets. Tight end, like I said, pretty weak. The defense, paper thin and old in some spots. The belief that C.J. Mosley is going to come back into this lineup and rejuvenate this defense is a little silly to believe. But they have guys, they have players, but this Jets team could be, again, one of the bad teams in the NFL, definitely falling into the bottom five in terms of standing. It is the first game for Robert Saleh as head coach. He's a coveted defensive coordinator who a lot of teams wanted to bring in as their head coach. He's got a lot of interviews over the last few years, but he finally gets his first shot as being a head coach. Unfortunately, it's for a rebuilding Jets team. And if you kind of know anything about teams that are rebuilding, the first coach is the placeholder. Very rarely does the coach you bring in for a rebuild stick around. It's the second coach that gets to reap the benefits of any rebuild. Luckily for Brian Flores, he managed to turn that ship around real quick. Maybe Robert Saleh can do the same, but it's hard to say. It really is hard to say. We're going to kind of watch the Jets throughout the season, see how Zach Wilson progresses. But, you know, starting a rookie quarterback with a very thin offense in terms of talent and then a defense that I don't have a lot of confidence in, it just feels as though this Jets team's going to struggle to win, you know, even five games. You know, be a miracle if they got to six. And it all starts with the Carolina Panthers, who are starting a new quarterback and are bringing back One of the most dynamic players in the history of the NFL already in the short career that he's had. Christian McCaffrey, only playing three games last season, will be back. All systems go for week one. And the Carolina Panthers, of course, made the trade over the offseason to bring in former first-round pick Sam Darnold, the former New York Jet, who at one time in his career said he was seeing ghosts out there. He's looking to kind of rejuvenate his career. If we've learned anything about the Adam Gase situation, is that if Adam Gase is your coach, he's definitely going to hinder your ability to succeed. Ryan Tannehill was not very good. He was all right under Adam Gase, but he flourished once he went to Tennessee and was able to be on a team and with a group of guys that really catered to his skill set. Sam Darnold, coached by Adam Gase, he was absolutely dreadful for most of his time in New York, and he's looking to get a fresh start with the Carolina Panthers, who have been searching for a franchise quarterback since Cam Newton was let go. They thought maybe Teddy Bridgewater would be that guy, signing him to his big deal, but after, you know, just one season, they close the door on that one, and they bring in Sam Darnold, who is still very young. He's still one of the younger starting quarterbacks in the NFL, even though it feels like he's been in the league forever. But this is a really good chance for him to rebuild his reputation and gain some confidence. Carolina Panthers, they have Christian McCaffrey, who's good for 1,000 yards, both receiving and running. Robbie Anderson, a former teammate of his in New York. DJ Moore, they drafted Terrence Marshall. You know, this is a team that has some weapons, that has the ability to go down the field. And the threat of Christian McCaffrey alone should make the job a lot easier for Sam Darnold, because during his tenure with the New York Jets, he didn't have much of a running game. They did bring in Le'Veon Bell, but he didn't really do much as a Jet. When your best running back was Frank Gore for the bulk of your career, you know, that says a lot. And this fresh start with the Carolina Panthers, I really think it's going to be a bounce back for Sam Darnold. But if he can't figure it out with the Panthers, then the career is done. He's going to be a backup for the remainder of his time in the NFL. You know, and he'll be a great backup. But this is really his shot to breathe new life into his career. He's got the tools around him. He's got the coaching staff. They have a good defense. Obviously, the division is a little difficult when you consider the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, but Atlanta's not that great. New Orleans has some things to figure out. They're really thin at wide receiver. Jameis Winston is an unreliable quarterback, to say the least. He's going to throw some touchdowns, but he's going to throw some picks as well. Who knows if that LASIK surgery fixed all of Jameis Winston's problems? I doubt it, but we'll find out fairly soon. I have a lot of confidence in the Panthers and Sam Darnold. Again, maybe not a playoff team, but this is definitely a team that's going to be extremely competitive. They're going to be able to put points on the board. And if McCaffrey stays healthy, they're definitely going to be a tough out for a lot of teams. I can't wait for week one. I am absolutely pumped for it. It feels like forever since the last time I watched a regular season NFL game, but it's just around the corner, and I couldn't be more excited. I want to hear from you. You can always hit me up on Twitter, Couture on Air. Always follow the Dolphins Talk Twitter page as well. Let me know your thoughts. What other matchups are you intrigued by in week one? And what are kind of the storylines that you're keeping an eye on, not only for the Dolphins, but for the rest of the NFL? I would love to hear from you. And that does it for this week's edition of Dolphins Talk Point After, brought to you by BetUS. I hope you have fun during this first week of the NFL season, and I can't wait to talk to you again.